That was a great job. I want to ask you to pray hard today. I want to ask you to pray for the message. I want to ask you to pray for the lost today that are among us, and those that, you know, we have people that attend our services from time to time, week to week, that are lost, that are not here today, but you know God can save them wherever they're at. And so let's remember the lost today in our prayers. I want to direct your attention to a very short scripture reading today found in Isaiah chapter 59. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me, turn to Isaiah 59, and I want to just read the first two verses for my reading lesson today. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." And I want to speak today primarily to those of you that are among us in the service today that don't know the Lord, that have not been saved. And the title of my message today is Between You and God. And if you're lost today and separated, that's exactly where I believe it should be, between you and God. And there's been a lot of problems caused, and there's been a lot of deception that has taken place through the years, and I'll probably talk about some of that today. But there's been a lot of deception that has taken place because people tried to get involved in something that should have been left between that person and the Lord, and tried to intervene in a way that they can't intervene. And I want you to notice what was said here in the 59th chapter of Isaiah, because Isaiah here spoke about a separation. He spoke about being separated. And that separation was between people and God. And, you know, Isaiah did not say that your sins have made a separation between you and the pastor. He didn't say that your sins have made a separation between you and the church, or between you and your mother and father, or between you and your friends, or you and your family in any way. He said here that your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And if you're lost today and without Him, that's exactly who you are separated from. Spiritually, you are separated from God. That's exactly what happened to Adam when he transgressed the law of God. Now, I'm sure that you've heard this mentioned many times, that the law that was given was that man was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the law. The penalty that was given for transgressing that law was death. In the day that you eat, you shall surely die. And death, in its truest form, means a separation. That's what death is. That's what death is in every aspect. That's what death is from a natural standpoint. Natural death is the separation of the spirit and the body, just like James said it was in James 2 and 26. The body without the spirit is dead. Spiritually, spiritual death is being spiritually separated from God, and that's what happened to Adam when he transgressed. The very moment that he did that, he became separated from God. He no longer had that relationship with God that he had prior to becoming a sinner. And so there was a separation that took place there. And I want you to notice what they did when, you know, Adam, when Eve took of that fruit, as the scripture tells us, and she ate, and she gave to her husband Adam, and he did eat. And the Bible tells us that their eyes were opened. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they were ashamed, and they hid themselves from God. And there was something that they did when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid themselves among the trees of the garden. And when God called out to them, called out to Adam, and asked him where he was, and Adam answered him, there was something that both of them did, and they tried to lay the blame for what had happened onto somebody else. And it says this concerning Adam. It says, "And the man said, 'The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.'" And so really, the way I see this, not only was Adam actually laying the blame on Eve, but he was really blaming God. Amen. You know, "God, this woman that you gave to me, she gave me of this fruit, and I ate it." And then concerning Eve, it says, "And the woman said, 'The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.'" And so truly, you know, neither of them in that first conversation that took place between them and God after that they had sinned, neither one of them just stepped up and owned the responsibility and said, I transgressed your law. Adam said, well, it was because of Eve. Eve said it was because of the serpent. And you know, there's still a lot of people in the world today still play the blame game. In a lot of ways, and you may have been like this. I know that I was like this when I was a young person, when I was a child and I was growing up. I used to get in trouble for doing something. And, you know, my parents, when I would be having to answer for the wrong that I had done, oftentimes I would use this excuse. I'd say, well, but, you know, so-and-so, he was doing it too. That never did seem to matter much to them. You know, I remember a lot of times, you know, saying that especially to my mother, I'd say, well, but maybe it may have been my brother or one of my sisters or my friends or something. I'd say, well, but they did that too. And she would say, well, I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. And I had a responsibility in that. And you know, the things that we do, you know, when we make wrong decisions and we make bad choices, we need to take the responsibility that we have ourselves for those choices. And so, you know, we've seen blame going on for many, many years. It happened with the first people that ever lived on the earth. But I want to tell you something today. And if I don't get anything else across today in this message, my objective is this today. I want you to know that if you are here today and that you are lost and separated from God, that it is God that you have offended with your sin and not somebody else. It's God that you are separated from today. And it's with God that you need to make reconciliation. It's with God that you need to make peace. And you know, you today need to seek forgiveness that can only come from God. You know, I'm going to tell you something today, which I believe you already know, but I am simply not able to forgive you of your sin. And the church is not able to forgive you of your sins. Only God is able to forgive people of their sins. Do you remember when reading about in the ninth chapter of Matthew when Jesus had healed the palsied man? And he told him first, he said, when he saw their faith, he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And some of the Pharisees that were present there, they, when they heard that, they accused him of blaspheming and they said, only God can forgive sins. Do you know they were right? They were right. Their problem was they didn't realize that Jesus was God, but they were right in what they said, and that's still true today, that only God is able to forgive sins, and your lost condition is between you and the Lord, and your iniquities have separated between you and God. Now I stand up here from time to time and other preachers stand up here from time to time and people in the congregation stand from time to time and testify and speak out to you and urge you to seek the Lord and to be saved. And we are doing what the scriptures instruct us to do. We are doing what the Lord Jesus Christ left his church here in the world to do. We are trying to carry out the work of spreading the gospel that the Lord gave the church in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. We have Matthew's account there of the Great Commission, where Jesus came and spake to his church, and after that he had told them that all power had been given unto him in heaven and in earth, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And the church went out doing that work, and she has been doing that work ever since that time, and has been done in many different parts of the world. But we are simply doing that which God left us to do. I'm trying today, again, to preach the gospel to you. But you are not going to find anywhere in that where he ever commissioned the church to save people. That was not part of the commission that was given to the church. That was never given to any pastor. And that was never given to any church. We were not commissioned to save souls. We were commissioned to go out and tell people what they must do in order to be saved, and to point them to the Lamb of God that's able to take away their sins. And that's what I want to do here again today. I want to point you to the only one that's able to wash you and make you clean. The only one that can wash away your sins by his own blood, to point you to a salvation that can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, you stand ultimately responsible before him for your own soul. For your soul. I know that sometimes people can become disheartened. I know that sometimes people can become discouraged. But let me tell you this. You give God thanks today to be among people that don't try to interfere in something that is between you and God. Give God thanks for that today. There's a lot of people that haven't had that privilege. There's a lot of people whose faith has been tampered with by men, and it never should have been done. You know, God's work ought to be left to God, and he is able to save to the uttermost. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm willing to stand back today and let the Lord do his work. I'm willing to stand back and let sinners bow at an old-fashioned mourner's bench or wherever they choose to bow, and seek the Lord with fear and with trembling and with mourning until God comes and speaks to their soul, until he lets you know that he has saved you. And until that happens in your heart, I want to encourage you today. I want to tell you to not get dismayed and not get disheartened, and don't become discouraged, because let me tell you something, we serve a God today that not only can save you, but he wants to save you. He wants to save. He did everything necessary in order for you to be saved. And I promise you today that God is not playing games with you, but his conditions have to be met. A person must truly repent of their sins, and they must trust the Lord with all of their heart in order to be saved. And when that takes place, I'm telling you today, I promise you today, by the authority of God's word, that when that takes place, when you really, with all of your heart, and there's people here today that can testify of this, that can support what I'm saying. Thank God that there is, but I'm telling you, when a person really, truly is able by the help of God to repent of their sins, and that person with all their heart really puts their faith and their trust in the Lord, he will save you right then. He'll save you right then. God does not play games. God's not an arbitrary God. He's a God of purpose, and he's a God that will perform what he has said he will do. There have been people, because, and we all know this is true, I want to warn you of this today. There are people that get in a hurry sometimes and they want to get ahead of God. You know what? I know there's an urgency to salvation. There is an urgency for those of you who are lost. I want to encourage you, if you know that you're lost today, then you need to seek the Lord today. You need to make haste to come to God. I know there is an urgency to salvation, but listen, when people are seeking the Lord, it's between them and God. And the very best thing that anybody could ever do for them is to let them find the Lord. There have been people that have interfered in God's business. They got in a hurry and they wanted to see, something happen. And so, that led to many of the practices that we see in our society today of people just being set, people being told, you know, there's no need to go through all of that. Let me tell you something. You need to mourn your way through it. The Bible teaches that the lost are to mourn before God, and you need to mourn your way through it. I had to, Brother Jackson, didn't you? I mean, I did some mourning and I did some weeping, and I'm not just talking about an outward show. I'm talking about what took place in my heart. I went through conviction of sin. I went through the condemnation of sin in my heart. I went through the time when I realized that I was lost and that I was separated from God and that it was between Him and me, and nobody else stood responsible for my soul but me. Lost friend, listen today. It's between you and God. And you've got to work it out between you and Him. It's got to be settled between you and God. Let me tell you something that's going to happen. The Bible speaks about it. We all are going to stand before God as the individual that we are. You know that? Every one of us. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of who? What do you believe it says? Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let me tell you something. There are no greater circumstances in all of your existence. There will never be any greater circumstances under which you will stand as an individual than that which you stand before God and give an account of yourself to Him. In the 12th chapter of Luke, in the parable that Jesus spoke about that rich man, that the ground of a rich man, you know, had brought forth plentifully, and he had such a great produce that he ran out of room to store his increase. And he his remedy was to pull down the existing barns that he had and to build greater barns. And then when he did that, he said, now I can bestow my fruit in these barns, and I can say to my soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, for thou hast much goods laid up for many years. And Jesus said in that parable, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. It'd be required of you. Adam, the Bible plainly teaches us that Adam, through his transgression, that he brought sin and death upon the human family. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam took that fruit, when Adam transgressed the law of God, he brought sin upon the human family, and death came as a result of sin. But listen, the Bible, even though that's true, even though Adam's transgression plunged the human family into sin, listen to what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 30. He says, but everyone shall die for his own iniquity. You know, all have sinned. That's what the Bible tells us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yes, Adam did transgress, and Adam did bring sin and death upon the human race as a result of that. But one day, each one of us, you know, we're going to die, and our natural death for every one of us is going to be the result of sin. And God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And friend, you can't repent for Adam's sin. You've got to repent before God because you are a sinner. You're a sinner. You're lost, yourself, and separated from God. When I was saved, it was between me and God. When I was lost, it was between me and God. I'm thankful for the people that tried to influence me. I'm thankful for the people that preached the gospel to me. I'm thankful for the people that prayed for me. I'm thankful for the people that tried to encourage me to seek the Lord and be saved. But there's something bigger than all that. There's something that's standing between you and the Lord. Something that's standing between eternal life and eternal damnation. And let me tell you something. Let me just be honest with you and truthful with you. If you go on through your life and you fail to repent of your sins and you fail to trust the Lord and be saved, when you stand before the eternal judge in your lost condition, you begin to try to say, well, the preacher didn't preach hard enough, or you know, the church didn't do this or do that. No, God won't accept that. You are responsible to God for the condition of your own soul. You're an individual before Him. I was, Brother Wheat was, everybody is. And I want to, you know what, I'm glad that it's that way. I'm thankful that it's that way. I didn't, you know, when I was lost and without God, I'm glad that nobody tried to interfere, because God's able to take care of it. And I'll tell you know what you can do? When people get involved, you may have your conversion quicker. You know, it may not take you any time at all. You may have to do nothing but walk up front and do what they tell you to do, and then they declare you to be saved, and then you go back to your seat, and you may feel better about yourself. You may, in your mind, you may feel better about yourself, but let me tell you something. The great benefit to settling things between you and God is that when a sinner comes before God and truly repents of their sin and puts their faith in Him, when God is finished with that person, they'll have something real. And they'll have something that'll last. They'll have something that'll stand the test when they do stand before God to give account. And so, you know, I want to encourage you today to turn to the Lord and to seek the Lord. Let me tell you something. If you've been saved and you've never told it, you need to tell it. And there's no excuse for not doing that. But if you're here today and you're lost, I want to encourage you today to come to the Lord, because He loves you and He made provision for you and He wants to save you. You know what? I don't want anybody to have anything short of what I got. And I don't want to try to give anybody any less than what I got, because I had a real, genuine experience of salvation that took place between me and the Lord. And that's what you need. That's what you need. You don't need to stand before God with anything less than that. Will you come to Him? Will you seek Him for the eternal safety of your immortal soul? He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can forgive you. He's the only one that can cleanse you. He's the only one that can make you whole. Only God can do that. Let's stand and sing. Will you come seeking the Lord for the salvation of your own soul?
Number 186, your Heavenly Highway Hymn Book, 186.